have been listening to a program broadcast entirely in the Mohawk language on CKUT.
The Mohawk, or Ganyatgehaga, are the original people of the unceded traditional territory known as Montreal, or Chojaake. The Ganyatgehaga, or people of the Flint, have two communities close by, and they are working hard at revitalizing their language. This program is part of those efforts, and it originally aired in Ganasadage on RKR, reviving Ganasadage Radio.
Hey, this is Roxanne Shante, and of course you know I am listening to CKUT 90.3.
The rhymes you're about to hear me recite are dedicated to all of those that bite.
What's up, good people? To those of you listening wherever, whenever, whatever time it is, good morning, good evening, and good night. You are locked into another Tuesday evening with Soul Perspectives right here on CKUT 90.3 FM. Soul P has been on the air since 1994. We bring you all the topics, the guests, the ups and downs, the highs and the lows of the black community here in Montreal, across Canada, and internationally. We have a beautiful evening of music and discussion lined up for you tonight. Keep it locked. You are listening to Soul Perspectives right here on CKUT 90.3 on your FM dial.
Take our tongues. We lost our language, and we didn't. In Nuvola, we didn't. In Nuvola. You can't take that from us. You can't take that from us.
Yes, we're back. You are listening to Soul Perspectives here on CKUT 90.3 on your FM dial. My name is Kim Dominique Ferguson, and continuing the same vein for the Shut It Down support of Indigenous people here in Canada, our guest this evening is Janet Marie Rogers. She is a Mohawk Tuscarora writer from Six Nations of the Grand River. She was born in Vancouver, British Columbia in 1963 and raised in Southern Ontario. Janet traveled throughout 2017 to 2019 doing back-to-back residencies in Vancouver, BC, Santa Fe, New Mexico, and Edmonton, Alberta. Janet lives on Six Nations territory of the Grand River, where she owns and operates Ojisto Publishing and Productions. Janet works in page poetry, spoken word performance poetry, video poetry, and recorded poetry with music. She is a radio broadcaster, documentary producer, and media and sound artist. Janet, thank you so much for taking time to be here. You are obviously a busy person.
Yeah, it's, you know what? It's good to be busy. I've been working for myself. And you know what? Well done on all of those pronunciations.
I was worried as I was reading them.
No, you did so great. And I get, stumbled up with our own indigenous language, but the important part is that we try. So You not only tried, you did great. So, and, I'm thinking about how you're describing where we're at and with the terms shut it down. Mm-hmm. And indigenous people, we shut it down and we turn it up at the same time.
Ooh, I like that.
Because, when we shut it down, then we have time to focus on the really important things. And the really important things, from this, Mohawk Tuscarora perspective, Haudenosaunee perspective, is that we continue to reclaim the things that we need to reclaim to be who we need to be. Mm-hmm. And, I'm going to leave that open-ended because, again, it's just coming from me.
Yeah.
And you're going to get a different perspective from, each person that you talk to. But, shut it down makes me think about, I just got home in the summer of 2019. I just got home, back home to Six Nations territory of the Grand River.
Right.
And, that the summer after that was when, land back.
Right. In 2020.
And I was so happy to be home.
Yeah.
Because when these events used to happen, I was living on Coast Salish territory as a guest. My wish would be that I was back home.
Yeah.
And for this round of resistance celebrations, I was home. And so I just kind of wanted to, reminisce about what the shutdown means.
Yeah.
And before even land back, we saw the railroad shut down.
Yeah.
If you recall, Kim, the winter prior to that, and that was in support, that was a unity. Mm-hmm. Shut down, and the Titanega Mohawks, they got on the railroad there, and
right.
We shut the railroad down over here and all across the country. And this is when it comes down to that means we don't have a seat at the table. That means we don't even have, nobody's listening.
Right.
So that's why we do those things, And so we shut it down so that you fucking pay attention.
Tell them.
It's like, let me just mess with your commerce. Mm-hmm. Let me mess with the means and the ways that, you keep
money.
The commerce running here.
Yeah.
And see what you got to say about that.
That's one of the things that I have always realized. When you start messing with people's money, mm-hmm. is when, for better or for worse, they become more compliant. I mean,
that's it.
And I say for worse because, this whole vaccination thing with COVID and all of that, I'm saying this for the first time publicly on air. I am against the vaccination. I don't like the way that it feels. I hate the vaccine passport that we have to present it. But I got myself vaccinated because in October last year, before it became mandatory, no, actually in September last year, before it became mandatory, I had just this gut feeling that if I didn't get vaccinated, I wouldn't be able to work.
Okay.
And I have a child that I'm paying child support for. I have bills to pay. I don't have another stream of income like I normally would have pre-pandemic. Yeah. I would have had multiple streams of income, but it's only one. And so I was like, okay, I have to do this,
I hear it.
So it's like, there's always, but it causes people to shake up, and.
Well, that's the thing. It's like, hey, you know what? You're only as good to your community as you are as an individual. And what I'm going to compare what you just said to is when, when we go hard into our resistance work, it's like, here, I got to ask myself a question. You got to internalize the resistance too, first and foremost.
Yep.
And that is to ask yourself, okay, am I going to go get arrested? Because if I get arrested, and this was, pre-COVID, I'm asking myself, if I get arrested, I go on a no-fly list.
Right.
If I go on a no-fly list, I can't go work.
Yeah.
You know, I can't go and do the work that I need to do to keep myself going as an independent, self-employed person.
Yeah.
So that's a question. You know, that's a real, real question. So, you know, it's like you do what you think you need to do for yourself first.
Mm-hmm.
And then the community. You know what I mean? Because you're only going to be as good to your community as you are to yourself. And I really do believe that, you know.
That is extremely interesting because we live in a society where individualism and henceforth capitalism is praised, right?
Yeah.
What you're saying is you're drawing a link between community and the individual because you can't really separate the two. It's kind of like that old show back in the 90s, You Are the Weakest Link, where
you are the weakest link. Come on.
You know, so the weakest link always gets kind of taken off. So what you want to be is you want to be a strong link for the community.
I mean, and imagine, like, you know, a bunch of strong links make for pretty strong resistance.
Exactly. It's just like Malcolm said. Just like Malcolm said, you know, I open my five fingers, I give you a slap, it'll sting, but I pull them together and I'll knock you out. So
That's it. Yeah. That's really how I see it's a, you know, that's why the Haudenosaunee Confederacy was formed. Mm-hmm. Because it was about each strong nation making the five nations of the Confederacy.
Tell us a little bit about that, because, you know, one thing that I realized is that I know very, very little about the territories that I'm currently on, I live on. I was fortunate in that, you know, when I started CKUT, there was Native Solidarity News that was on before us, and then it split and became two different shows. So I learned a little bit, and I also made a concerted effort in 2020 to buy books. So I bought the 21 Chief Bob Joseph's book, 21 Things You Don't Know About the Indian Act.
Good one.
I bought Indian Horse.
Richard Wagamese.
Yes. That book. And I read a couple other books. I read a play. I read a book full of plays on, like, from Native women. And, like, I have my heart ripped out every single play that I took in. So, sorry, all that to say, like, this huge introduction to say, what is this gathering of the five nations, I believe you said?
Yeah, the Confederacy. So, basically, it's how we choose to govern ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, this is pre-Confederacy of the country. So we had our governance happening before the country was even formed. So, which is to say, you know, we took care of our own before anything else. And that was the Haudenosaunee Confederacy formed. You're going to get, I think, somewhat different opinions. It's early 1700s, but some say mid 1700s.
Mm-hmm.
Or I'm talking about when they adopted the Tuscarora, because at first you have five nations, Haudenosaunee nations, and then they adopted the Tuscarora, which makes six nations, which is why our territory is called Six Nations.
Six Nations.
So basically it was, you know, representation from all five and then eventually six of the nations that came together to say, we are sharing land base.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And as such, we need to manage this with our intellect and our spirit and our hearts, and our cultural knowledge and practices.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what that was really all about. Like, that's why that Confederacy was put into place. And yeah, they were chiefs, and yeah, there were clan mothers who mm-hmm. chose the chiefs, mm-hmm. who could impeach the chiefs, you know, so it was woman strong. But basically it was about managing the relationships within that Confederacy too, because a lot of it, Kim, has to do with management. You know, if you manage territory, then you have to manage the relationships. And I can just imagine, like, you know, and the same principles apply when we see these events, these resistance events take place.
Mm-hmm.
We know why we're there, but now we got to manage ourselves to do it in a smart way.
Yeah.
Like that intellect part is really, really important. You know, yes, we're going to have passion. That's a given. Yes, we're going to have physical strength too. That's a given.
Yeah.
But you've got to be smart with those things, you know?
Yeah.
So, and you've got to learn how to talk about those things in a really good, healthy, direct manner. So, you know, all of those things go come into play when we're talking about resistance movement.
Right.
And shutting things down.
Right.
Yes, whatever we do now and whatever we do, whatever any government does now is going to have long-term effects. And if your planning is really set in a foundation of being short-sighted, well, then you're messing your people up.
Yeah.
You're going to mess your people up generations down the road.
Exactly.
You know? So, and so that's why a lot of another really, consistent part of Indigenous governance has to do with long-term vision.
Right.
Generations down.
One of the things that I know that I heard it on different radio shows on CKUT, and I believe I read it in the book as well, 21 Things You Don't Know About the Government Act. But one of the things that I remember, and I, please correct me if I'm wrong, but there was a certain leader who said that people are too short-sighted. And the repercussions or the benefits of any actions that we take now are going to be felt seven generations down the line.
There, you know, there was a wonderful leader who has now gone to spirit, but he was around, like, I think he transitioned to spirit, like, not that long ago, maybe 5 years ago only, Arthur Manuel.
Okay.
And he even, and his daughters, his twin daughters, are now part of the tiny house warrior movement on the West Coast there, you know, fighting that pipeline, that goddamn pipeline.
Yeah.
And he would always say, a quote that I love of his is, you know, stop crying on the shoulder of the man who's stealing your land, you know, who's oppressing you. Because you cannot ask the same entities that want to rob you of your lands for your rights.
Yeah.
They're not going to give it to you.
No.
You know? So you just go ahead and you assert. And that's exactly what I mean, Kim, when I say you shut it down to raise it up.
Raise it up. Turn it up.
Right?
Yeah.
Turn it up. Exactly.
I write notes while we're talking, and I found it interesting that you said that there's chief and then there's clan mothers. And the clan mothers elect the chiefs.
Yes.
And can impeach them,
yes.
Which is very interesting because I've been fascinated with this idea of the matriarchy, and one thing that I've noticed when I see protests, particularly with the Dakota pipeline, and I'm always kind of comparing, you know, the black struggle and the black movement with the Native struggle and the Native movement. And I notice one thing that's almost universal in both, like when you see images, women are always on the front lines.
Well, gotta be there, you know. Yeah, gotta be there. Because the women, and here's, I've seen an example of when the women aren't there.
Mm-hmm.
And that is those young warriors get in there and they're riled up.
Yeah.
And they have the image, you know, they think they know what needs to be done. And again, they're not thinking with their long-term sighted vision. And they get in there and they want it, you know, and they're angry, right? They got that righteous anger burning in them.
Yeah.
And they get in there and they start stirring up the shit. And it happened during the first, what they call the Ganastato, which was the first land back, like, you know, 15 years ago.
Right.
So these things happen almost cyclically, you know, and you can guarantee there's going to be another one.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so we had seen that. And you know, the clan mothers came in right away in the press and they go, listen, we never
approved this,
said to do that. You know, we never gave the okay for that.
Yeah.
They weren't listening. They were acting on their own accord. And so you have to have the women there because that means full community.
Yeah.
You know, without women, you don't have full community. You've got a fraction of the community. And the reason why, I'll tell you, Kim, that the clan mothers are the ones to choose those chiefs is because the clan mothers have watched those men
grow up.
Yeah. And so they'll know who has the best character to carry those roles through successfully.
So how do they observe them, but like, how do they make that choice in the end? Is it just through observing?
If we're talking about like traditional council, like a traditional council, not band council where people get voted and they, you know, it's federal funding that supports it.
Right.
You talk about like, what do they call it? A traditional chief, they get chosen through the longhouse ceremony, and they get what they call condoled. So there'll be a condolence ceremony where they get stepped up into that position, and that all happens in ceremony in longhouse.
A condolence ceremony.
They get condoled.
That's interesting because, like, in the English language, which is the colonizer language, condolences is to when you're telling someone that their relative has some, like, condolences.
Right. Oh, right,
this,
yeah, right.
This
yeah.
is, yeah, this well, is an interesting
it's almost
clip.
Like that. It's like, sorry, but you're going to have to do this role.
So it is like,
No, I don't think it is. It means a different thing.
But it is funny.
Sorry to tell you, but...
right. You have to take on this burden.
Right. And then, you know, and it's, I mean, it really, really is an honor because, you know, when the shit goes down, and you know it always does in Indian country, right?
Yeah.
Then these are the people who, again, they step up. And we see some of those peace tree chiefs come up and speak to media.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, but it's a different language. Like, it's almost like they're speaking poetry. Mm. They're not speaking necessarily about court and about law and about, you know, that stuff. They're talking about a whole different natural system.
Right.
That doesn't necessarily translate to things like injunctions.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, don't talk to me about an injunction. You know, we're here because this is our, not only our right, but it's our responsibility to stand on this land and protect it from further development. Like, you don't even know, you know, it's two different languages.
Yeah. So. Because if you continue to take from the land will die. And you have to nourish the land. Like, my mother is an agronomist. And one of the things that she explores is I believe it's called sister seed horticulture, where multiple kinds of plants are grown together because they take different nutrients and put each one takes different nutrients and puts back different nutrients in the land so that the soil remains fertile.
Yeah. Oh, so, well, you're speaking our language. We're agricultural people. And I just want to correct myself because I said peace tree chief, but it's actually a pine tree chief.
Okay.
So that's the traditional council, Haudenosaunee Council. Mm. But yeah, we, you know, we're agricultural. So we, you know, we are, that's exactly what all of the ceremonies are, our ceremonies are rooted in. It has to do with being grateful for the seasons and asking, you know, ensuring through ceremony that our growing seasons are going to be good seasons.
Mm.
And so it's all about paying attention to weather and, you know, doing things in the time when you're supposed to do them. You know, don't tap the trees before it's time.
Right.
Don't plant the seeds before it's time.
Yes.
You know, all of that stuff.
Yes.
So, and just being, you know, there's, you know, green corn ceremony, strawberry ceremony. Like, we have ceremonies for the agriculture, man.
Just in case you're tuning in for the first time, we are speaking to Janet Marie Rogers, who is a Mohawk Tuscarora writer from Six Nations of the Grand River. We have been talking a little bit about the history past, present, and a little bit into the future, perhaps, of the native people that of the land that at which we find ourselves now. We do have to take a quick break because we got to pay some bills and play music. Keep it locked. You are listening to Soul Perspectives here on CKUT 90.3 on your FM dial.
Absorbed by territories. regenerated cycles come full circle. Our blood spills back premature, with weapons of them who pay not their dues, but speak in untruths born without an ounce of remorse. Our guts turn gray like the ashen skin of the murdered man slumped over the wheel of his vehicle upon lands once known as his, where he only wanted to go. His spirit now wanders upon barbed wire property, and when his family calls him, "Come home," he makes them wait. He's been trying every door to escape. So he hangs around just a minute more and watches the great-great-grandchildren of his younger brother being told, "Be careful around here." The murderer returns to his cup of coffee, to the rantings of his wife who said she was so scared. Her hero took care of it, but his red-tinged skin tells on him this is illogical, and he knows it, bred into him by his grandfather's racism, taught as the gospel today. He does his ancestors proud, lives out the fantasy they so often talked about with their wives over coffee. They come from another place. They do not connect the way we connect, but hold real estate papers and wave them in our face like victory flags, singing the tired taxpayers' lament. It is a shotgun and a can of coke. Basic.
They talk tough on the gram all day, then when they see me up close, don't say shit. I swear I'm not on no gang shit, but try me and you'll leave with a facelift. 4-3 were known to be majors. Don't ever come with that fake shit. If a scrap goes down in the hood, even on a sunny day, I'll store me. I could have sworn they were missionaries, because whenever we pull up, they call more men. Because they know my team got that form when they see us swing like Greg Norman. And if they want to come to my ends, they have to know that that's why I call like Jordan. No time for the chit-chat, call me Dig That. Cause me and my bro did tactics. These facts talk tough like a car in drive. Cause I swear my mum they can't back it. We'll stay active, tell them all come round. No shiv in his chest but a fist to his head is enough to get a man down. Fuck these clowns, tell them all drop now. I'm gonna go get them, who say less? No cat, shank, fuck that fist up. So we keep for the mess. Someone here, no need for the two. Oh my right hand, put you to rest. That 4-3 to that fit to fit. Hold it down for my set. Fucking nice. Listen, hit the feet to go get them, who say less? No gap, shake, fuck that fish stuff, shut up, we keep for the mess. Go on here, no need for the two. All my left, get put to the rest. That double 7 to the 4-3, I hold it down for my set.
Hey Victor, tell them fuck.
Over the brave, land of the G's, if you want that beef, better tread carefully. If so, my team will go get that. We pull up, they gone like Snatcher. This fist goes up, better hack that, fuck that.
Hey folks. Just wanted to let you know that we do pre-record our shows, and at the time of recording, our guest went by Janet Marie Rogers, but has since changed her name to January Marie Rogers. Keep listening to Soul Perspectives here on CKUT 90.3 FM.
Slums and the native reservations, anywhere that there's drugs or a lack of education. Everything that I does don't need no verification, cause I do it for my son and the people who never made it, even the ones who hated, who kept me from what I'm chasing. I stepped in to face it, deck chins to make it, rep six like Drake did, tested the pavement, neglected the hatred, we destined for greatness.
Everything that I does don't need no verification. I do it for my son and the people who never made it.
Travel with that heart for the people, wear it on my sleeve. Battle in the dark, it's an eagle that I don't feed. I gotta move with my family and it's all love. All included in this music that was once drugs. Had to see past, reaching for the dream. Went from doing this on the weekend to a full-time thing. For the fans and the elders, storytellers and the dreamers. We kick it a cappella, street level and they need us. Used to travel walking dirt roads with the beats on. Now I'm rapping studios and chose this for my theme song. The path long that I charted leads back. Full circle way beyond through the artistry of rap. It's a part of me, beats, tracks, and arteries. Chiefs, cash, and casualties. Streets laugh so casually. They love me cause I'm true to this. A student and a fan. A gift to do this music for the movement and my fans.
around me, cause I'm true to this, a student and a fan. To get to do this music for the movement and my fans.
They love me in the slums, they love me in the six, cause I keep it 100 and it's real when I spit. Life's about the struggle, head up through the hard times, persevere through the rough thoughts of a scarred mind. You gon' make it, keep doing your thing. If you did something once, you could do it again. I stay focused, I'm here to give the game notice. The change coming, we're up next, I ain't bluffing. Ever think about the fact that they cheating us, filling up our heads with false.
Tree Canada's National Greening Program, native tree seedlings are planted across Canada, creating a widespread impact. Planted trees provide habitat, prevent soil erosion, and reforest areas that have suffered tree loss due to pests and weather. Tree Canada performs 1, 2, and 5-year assessments to monitor tree survival and ensure the trees planted are on track to meet the forest cover goals of the site. To learn more or to get involved, go to treecanada.ca.
Yes, 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 we're back, we're back, we're back. We are speaking to... No, you are listening to Soul Perspectives here on CKUT 90.3 FM. My name is Kim Dominique Ferguson, and my guest this evening is Janet Marie Rogers. She is a... She works in page poetry, spoken word performance poetry, video poetry, and recorded poetry with music. She's a radio broadcaster, documentary producer, media, and sound artist. Her literary titles include Splitting the Heart, Ecstasis Editions 2007, Red Erotic, Ojista Publishing 2010, Unearthed Leaf Press 2011, and many, many more. Janet, thank you so much. I'm always filled with gratitude with my guests because it leaves me full all the time, and we're not even halfway through the show and I'm already feeling like this was a good meal.
Well, you know, like, I love doing radio, you know, and mm-hmm. I really miss it. Like, I had my own show for 10 years from 2007 to 2017 mm-hmm. in UVic, so on Coast Salish territory. And, you know, I miss it so much, and I really have a really big place in my heart for community radio. Mm-hmm. It plays an important role.
Yes.
In, you know, in the fabric of our culture,
yes.
Wherever you may happen to be. I mean, wherever you are, tune into that community radio station, man, because that's where you're going to get the tea.
Yeah. whenever we have Communauté here in Montreal, and whenever I get one, I'm always flipping to 90.3. I'm not really interested in hearing the hottest music of the day anymore.
Oh, my God. It's
and
so crappy.
Almost universally, I've been getting the car at around 11. And almost universally, there's always a native show that's on. And
right
either
on.
They're
oh,
speaking
cool.
in their language or wow. they're speaking on a lot of issues. So, like, I'm it's a double-edged blade because I want to stay in the car longer so I can listen to the show. But then I want to get rid of the car fast because I'm paying money per minute.
Yeah,
But I really enjoy community radio, and I appreciate that. You know, we can do things that CBC and all those other big radios won't allow us to do, like have an hour and a half show speaking to people. That doesn't happen. It's like 15-minute sound bites, 10-minute sound bites, quick.
A ton more autonomy. A ton more autonomy with community radio.
Yeah. So I want to speak to you more about you because you mentioned that when the leaders would talk to Parliament and they would go on television, it would be like they're speaking poetry as opposed to like making like this grand speech. How did you come to poetry? What was your journey?
I became a writer, I believe, as a result of moving to the West Coast. And I moved to the West Coast in... 1994. God. And I was
as the
there.
Young millennials would say, the late 1900s. I hate them so much.
And I was out there for 25 years, but it was really early on, like 96, mm-hmm. when I started to really get on my literary journey.
Okay.
And I was visiting open mics, you know, and Coast Salish territory is loaded with writers. There's a lot of writers on the West Coast there and a lot of open mics.
Yep.
And so I kind of started going to this one, and then I started to see some writers there who were like popping the spoken word, you know?
Yep.
And I thought, that looked kind of fun. Yeah. So, you know, and then I just kind of just went at it really on my own, because I have never studied formally outside of doing residencies and things like that, and, you know, signing up for different workshops. Mm-hmm. I never studied formally in a university or college for writing.
Yeah.
And all of that, all of my development has been, you know, independent. And, but the open mics and just being around other writers was the best education for me, because I, you know, you also learn what you don't want to do as a writer.
Yeah.
When, you know, when you go to those things, and but it was great. You know, you know, it was great. Like, you could bring your special brand of whatever you're doing, but also just there's no other way to learn how to develop your voice than to get out there and develop your voice.
Exactly.
And your voice, you know? Yeah. So there's, in my opinion, there's no other way to do it. So this was a safe and supportive, encouraging place that I just kept going to week after week, and, you know, finding my literary tribe, if you will.
Yeah.
And and then that's when I started to develop spoken word too, and man, it was scary. Like, it was a scary journey.
Okay.
Because
you know about it.
Right? Like, you're just kind of going, oh, I wonder if I'm doing this right, you know? Mm-hmm. And then you bring it to the crowd, and then there's like the, you know, the memory thing, and then you go, oh, I wonder if I'm going to remember it, and da, da, da. Anyways, I just ran at it like with abandon, you know, with just like this innocence and abandon. I just thought, oh, I'm just going to do it, you know?
Yeah.
And then, you know, just started to develop it even further there. And I'll have to say that, you know, I started to develop some of my erotica writing into the spoken word and the performance, which I thought was fun.
Yeah.
Because now you're working with a little bit of props.
Okay.
Where, you know, oh, here, I'm going to burn some medicine. Okay. Oh, here, I'm going to light this candle. Oh, here, you know, and then recite the poem. And I just went at it like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a recording, Kim, like I had a poetry recording of 10 tracks on a CD, if people remember what CDs are.
Right.
And before I ever had my first book published. And so I had, you know, the CD, and I brought that to the publisher, and I go, hey, if you're going to publish my work, do you want to include this CD with it? He said, yeah. Wow. And that was Extasia's edition in, you know, in Victoria, BC, on Coast Salish territory. So that was how I started.
Mm-hmm.
And but at the same time, I was, you know, in the really, really early days, I was making my own chapbooks.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Printing that shit off of my computer.
Yeah.
Taking it to the open mics, and people would actually give me $5,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Mm-hmm.
So again, that was really encouraging. Like, and it was fun to make it. It was a little artsy craftsy project, you know?
Yeah.
And so really it was a lot of like just, you know, using my own initiative, my own kind of drive and will to create a space for myself in that community, really. And I got excited when I would hear about other Native writers, but there weren't a lot, man. Like, you know, back in the day, I would ask, who else is doing, you know, what other Native spoken word people is there out there? And I would get names of like rappers that I'd be like, no, it's not the same.
Not that's the same, not the thing same. At all.
But then people started to tell me about Jackson.
Okay.
Nice.
Okay.
What's his name? His first name.
I don't recall.
Oh, his first name is eluding me right now. He's a brother who we lost, but he fucking, you know, he blew the lid. He brought all his
Zacchaeus Jackson.
Zacchaeus Jackson, nice. Thank you. I'm going to snap for him.
Yes.
Give him snaps here.
Yes.
Because he was the first other Native poet who, and he was doing slam. So I wasn't doing slam. I was doing spoken word.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a distinction. But when I heard about Zacchaeus and, you know, got to see him perform in person, I held my heart. Like, I just held my heart.
Yeah.
That's all I could have done, you know? He was talking about doing time. he was talking about, you know, living on the streets. He's talking about all of that adoption bullshit that, you know, Indigenous people, that's our reality kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I was just like, holy crap, brother. Like, you're bringing the real, you know. So I loved it. And I always, you know, I thought, what can I do to help him?
Yeah.
And so I connected him with Margot Kane, who produces the Talking Stick Festival out there in Vancouver all the time. And that's Native, you know. So I made that connection, and she just ran with it. It's like, I'm going to book this guy in the schools. I'm going to book him to do these shows. I'm going to, you know.
Yeah.
So he ran. And Zacchaeus was always treated me like the proper auntie. Like, right. Which I loved, you know.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, he was so nice to me, you know. I just love that. So, you know, and then when he passed, it was really tragic. Really tragic.
Yeah.
But that's, you know, that's the result of someone who fucking, you know, living, you can only live with your demons for so long.
Right.
You know, really and truly.
Yeah.
And so, you know, what he was sharing with us in his poetry was, it wasn't made up, man. Like, that he was really dealing with it.
I've been to several slams and I've experienced Zacchaeus, and I can only describe him as a gentle giant,
because
he was really tall, and had this. I have a line in a poem, and I think it suits him. His voice booms so loudly, God himself will come running at the call. Creator themselves will come running.
Exactly. At the call. I mean, and what a vision. You know, he was a vision. Beautiful specimen of a man.
Yeah.
You know,
and
just stunning and brilliant. Anyways, so then I started to realize, there is a little bit of training. I could get through the BAMP Center in the spoken word. And then, you know, and then I got to meet my idol, Lillian Allen, Miss Lillian.
Yes.
Okay, snaps.
Yes, given snaps. Yes.
And, you know, it was all I could do to stay not starstruck. And now she's my friend.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and we're pals and we've hung out and everything. But, like, that was where I understood, okay, there's, like, how big the community is, the spoken word community is.
Yeah.
And yes, I was developing my spoken word, and I was still writing for the page and just going for it. And it wasn't long after 2010 when I decided to publish my own. And that was the Red Erotic book.
Okay.
And because I realized I had all of this erotic poetry, sexy poetry, and it didn't really fit with the other collection. So I thought, why don't I just go ahead and
do a compilation. You know,
give its own little home. And so that's what I did. And then now it's in its fourth printing. You know, so there was clearly a need.
A demand, yes.
To talk about, you know, to give people permission to go, you know what, all that residential school sexual shame, you don't need to live with that no more.
No.
Here you go. Just enjoy. Enjoy yourself.
I think if a lot more people would adopt that philosophy, you know, we'd have a lot less problems. I think the problems
would go down
by about 45% to 65% in our planet.
I agree with you, Kim. I agree with you, because, you know, if you have it, and I said this before at a conference, and I said at a sex positive conference, and I said, you know, if you've got it right in the bedroom, then it seems other things in your life seem to go well.
They'll fall into place. Yeah.
They fall into place.
If it's right and healthy.
That's the thing. You know, you can own your sexuality and feel right in your sexuality and live your truth. Then, you know, other things in your life seem to fall into place. But of course, it's a sweeping, you know, statement. There's lots to do with that. But anyway, so, you know, that was, so they had this, you know, erotica poems. And then I just kind of kept writing because, I mean, if you can imagine, you know, just staying aware and awake as an Indigenous person, there's a lot to write about.
Yeah.
And that's where my sense of responsibility came in. It's like, I'm not going to write about this because I think I'm the expert. I'm freaking not the expert.
Yeah.
I'm a person who's in it and who believes in my responsibility as a creative voice to document this.
Yeah.
And so that's what I kept doing all throughout my career.
Yeah, I am 100% a supporter of that. As a spoken word artist myself, I mean, I like, forget about the community and the wider world just for my child, you know. My father said something before he passed away. He said, "You must always control your narrative. You mustn't let someone else control the narrative for you." And I find that the best way to do that is to do one of two or three things. Write it down, record it on video, or what we're doing now, record it on audio, you know, and put it in a safe space, like safe space in the sense that it won't get damaged or destroyed, and leave it for the generations to come.
Well, that's the thing. That is the thing. And I'm always conscious, again, with the sense of responsibility comes the awareness in my consciousness that what I'm producing today becomes culture of tomorrow.
Yes.
And so that's why it's really, really important to be authentic in your writing.
Yeah.
And, you know, keep the integrity of the message in place. Whatever that is for you, you know, just make it real. Yeah. Don't tell me you're a gangster when you're not a fucking gangster, okay?
Yeah.
You know, that's just one example, but you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, you know, because now with the social media, everything seems to, you know, the need to be popular is, it's really supersedes integrity sometimes.
Yeah.
And it's a shame to see that. But I think we're smart enough and we have enough intuition that we can source out what's good and what's not so good. You know what I mean?
It's so interesting that you say that, because people are looking for popularity, but a lot of people use negativity in order to gain popularity. And sometimes it's even people that are doing good things, quote unquote good things, that are doing that. Like, they'll take a negative comment and they'll make a TikTok video about that negative comment as opposed to a positive comment, you know, and I'm like, aren't you feeding? This is coming to me as I'm thinking about it. So the Tale of Two Wolves, right?
Which is
for me, it's a classic as far as I'm concerned, where there's the angry wolf, that is ravenous and just quote unquote evil. And then there's good wolf that's loving and nurturing. And the I think it's the grandfather talking to the little boy, and there's this constant battle with the two wolves, and the little boy at the end asks which one will win, and he replies, the one you feed.
That's it.
You know, and it's like, are you gonna feed the negativity or are you gonna feed the positivity?
You know, it's true. And you know, the urge to complain, it's just so attractive. It seems,
It is. The urge to complain, the urge to shame people. I was watching the fights last night, and I watch it online, and there's like a little comment box that people can type comments into, and like they're always criticizing and demeaning the fighters for whatever reason. Their walkout music, if they have like a physical condition. And I'm like, you guys are keyboard warriors. Like, you would never go to these fighters' face and say that. You will get knocked out. Which goes to what you were saying about, don't say you're a gangster if you're not a real gangster. And if you're a real gangster, walk the walk. Don't talk about it.
Yeah, that's it. You don't need to let nobody tell
no, you're a gangster. You just come up and you just bow and you've made your statement.
Yeah. But again, you know, that's why it's really important for us to nurture and grow our intuition. Like, really, like, if we could just really reconnect, I'm going to say reconnect to that part of ourselves that is critical thinking.
Yep.
And but also your intuitive, like your gut, you know, your gut is going to has all the answers, and your heart has all the answers too. And the intellect, and again, I talk about the intellect in terms of our governance, but that intellect too, in terms of thinking about academia intellect, that kind of intellect, can be really, really tricky.
Yeah.
And it can really play tricks on yourself too.
Yeah.
You know,
you can
spout all kinds of mental gymnastics to make yourself believe something that's not true.
100%.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I'm kind of like, you know what? I'd rather speak to a wise person than an intellectual person. You know?
And I find that intellect is also very much has a lot of fear in it. Whereby,
it can in competition, yeah, yes.
Whereby yes. Something that's intuitive is seen as wrong, and
right.
and 1 + 1 must always equal 2. But the fact of the matter is, sometimes 1 + 1 is just 1.
There you go.
You know, because if it's 1 + 1 and they come together, it might find one new thing.
New thing, exactly. Yeah. And that's what I'm excited about. Maybe this going to pull us back into that literary talk. But what I'm really excited about is that I'm seeing new territory mm-hmm. being created in the culture. And I see it in the indigenous culture, I have to say. I remember back in the day doing radio when a Tribe Called Red came out.
Yes.
Do you remember?
Yeah. Well,
I
don't remember, but I just... Whenever I hear that, I'm just talking about it now is giving me goosebumps. Whenever I hear that, I think it's the powwow dance track, the electric powwow dance. Whenever I hear that, my whole body just reacts to it, and I get goosebumps, and I'm like, oh my God,
I feel connected to these guys blew me away because they created it, what I called new territory for everyone, new musical territory for everyone to come and play and dance and live in this new territory,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it was such a brilliant thing. It was the combination of three cats, native guys who have a love for the technology, a love for their beat making, mm-hmm. champion beat makers, ba-da-da, and club. You know, they loved the club scene. So they brought their resources together and boom, there was Tribe Called Red.
Yes.
And you know how well they were embraced.
Yes.
God damn, I don't even people know that. They were nominated for Polaris Prize. They didn't even have an album.
Wow.
they just had
a series of singles
right. online.
Yeah.
So, and I mean, you know, there was some, you know, things that happened later on and, you know, the group is a different thing now. But at the time... That's what I recognized. I thought these guys are giving us something new, and doing something new in music is really hard to do.
Yeah.
And then I started to see that same thing happen in the literary arts.
Okay.
And again, coming from the native writers.
Yeah.
And I have to sing the praises of one Jordan Abel, who has put out a book recently called Niska. And this guy, he's not only laying down his poetry, which he's a really great poet, but he's including his police reports. He's including transcripts from lectures he's delivered. He's including interviews. He's including social work journal reports because he's telling us the story of his family and why. He's giving us the why he's disconnected as a Niska person from his original culture.
Wow.
And he put it all there in that format. And I've never seen this before. It was amazing. So I think the terms, the restrictions around what is considered to be traditional culture,
mm-hmm.
traditional literature, traditional dance, what have you,
mm-hmm.
the lid is blown off of that now.
Yeah.
And no one's going to stop
so
you from
much
doing
pressure
it.
On it. They put so much pressure on it that the pressure created diamonds.
I guess it did.
Just like putting pressure on coal.
I guess it did, yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, the arts are only going to evolve as much as our consciousness evolves.
Mm-hmm.
And our consciousness is evolving at, I think, a very accelerated rate now.
Yeah, I believe that, too, because I look at the 1990s, where technology was, the technology that was being commonly used, versus 2022, whereby your technology can be as much as big as the palm of your hand and can reach the entire world. It's global.
Imagine.
right?
Imagine.
Yeah. Whereas before, like, it would take up my entire house just to do 1 + 1 = 2.
Just that's right.
Minor
that's
calculation.
Right, yeah. Yeah, that's
good. Just in case you're tuning in for the first time, we are speaking to Janet Marie Rogers, a Mohawk Tuscarora writer from the Six Nations of the Grand River, spoken word artist, recorded poetry artist with music, video poetry, so much more. We do have to take a quick break. Play some music. Keep it locked. You are listening to Soul Perspectives here on CKUT 90.3 on your FM dial.
They took away the land and claimed that Maldives were the roaches. They tried to wipe away the time uncles off our shoulders. British soldiers killed a woman with their guns up in their holsters. They tried to kill the Maori tongue with their guns. Tried to seize the Waikato, so we smacked them with a tiger hut. Anybody disobey, then they fire up. Light us up, lock us in the fuddy and proceed to light it up. Saying they discovered the land we already called home. So they lined us up and put the muskets to our jaw bones. Raped a woman with their raw bone. Tried to populate a woman with their hormones. Took the money from our souls. Put their flagpoles in some holes and they claimed it as their own. Sold the land to the white man cause we didn't have a choice. Ripped the tongues from our throats so we didn't have a voice. Did the opposite of what the treaty said. Infiltrated Maori land and tried to make our iwi dead. Confiscated Maori artifacts, turned them into artifacts. Said they made us civilized and claimed that they had started that. Tried to take the wehi from a hucka slap. Said to slaughter all these people just to get our wakas back. Maori culture, man, they said they had enough of that. And that's a verse about the Europeans and the motherland. Same, affected by their reign, the terror upon the name of our people.
No equal opportunities were given, just disease-ridden children and shit for them to live in. The white politician would rather sweep it to the side than to let my people mention any truths of genocide. They provide all the guns that we use to kill each other. Brothers killing brothers, sons killing mothers, damn. Oh, what a shame, it was all in the name of Christianity. Insanity is the cause of this pain, but they continue to ignore. What will it take to reform a damaged fucking race, cause the pain is still raw. These ships set sail to explore and discover, but the land they would discover was full of people with money. Genocide, it's a white man's pride. I said, genocide, it's a white man's pride. And now the light will rise as the white man hides and continue to express how we feel inside. And now we're forced to accept it as the past. When it's conversated in the schools, the conversation never lasts.
Yes, 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 we're back, we're back, we're back. You are listening to Soul Perspectives here on CKUT 90.3 FM. My name is Kim Dominique Ferguson, and my guest this evening is Janet Marie Rogers, a Mohawk Tuscarora writer from Six Nations of the Grand River. Janet, we met back in 2017.
Was it?
Yes. I had gotten into the residency at Banff that you took before and then you became a mentor.
Yeah.
And one of the things that absolutely fascinated me was I was asked to host the mentor performance, and yeah. Your performance, I believe, was the penultimate, like you were second to last or third to last. Anyhow, I was fascinated by your performance because you did something that was completely out of the box from anything I have experienced. You played a track, I believe it was one of your tracks, and you laid out, I don't even recall if you were on stage. I believe you were on like the main floor that everyone was seated on, and like we had to stand up in order to watch your performance. And you did I want to say a tobacco-based ritualistic performance.
That's right, yes.
And I was extremely fascinated by this. And then fast forward 5 years later, I'm watching TikTok, and there's a Native woman who says something to the effect of, she just figured out why she always turns to cigarettes in order to cope with stress, and why is it that the colonialists came and transformed something that was a part of their culture into something that is now killing them, because tobacco, cigarettes, and the cigarette industry is like one of the number one killers of people almost globally with cancer. And so all of that to come back to why did you decide to do that ritual, and what is the importance of tobacco to ritual and culture?
Wow. Tobacco, not every nation burns tobacco in ceremony.
Okay.
But we do. Haudenosaunee people do. So the smoke of the tobacco is a means to communicate to Creator, to send your prayers up. Mm-hmm. To cleanse the space. Tobacco has a very lovely, you know, in its natural form,
yeah.
Has really lovely properties, and we use it like that. Now, how we still have a relationship with tobacco is there's a lot of tobacco growers on Six Nations, like okay. A lot.
Yeah.
In the summertime, you will see fields and fields of tobacco, and I just want to run and grab it.
But yeah.
Not my tobacco, but I do grow some in my garden as well.
Okay,
and it's always played a part, like in our culture, Anishinaabe culture, Cree culture for sure. It's also the gift. It's a contract. It sometimes can be a contract. It's like, if I'm going to go to you, Kim, mm-hmm. Because you are a knowledge keeper, and I want to invite you to do ceremony for my family because I'm in distress.
Okay.
And I need help. I need spiritual help. Then I'm going to come to you, and I'm going to bring you some tobacco, and I'll say, Kim, could you come and please help us in our time? Right. And that tobacco, if you accept it, is the contract. Wow. Is the agreement that says, this is what I'm here to do. I'm going to help you. I'm going to come and help you. So you pass the tobacco to someone in a really respectful way like that. It's part of the tradition. It's part of what we do. And as such, you know, the mm-hmm. tobacco, I don't know if you know much about Six Nations, but, you know, we have what they call tobacco palaces over here.
Okay.
You know,
okay. The, and what's that?
And you see it in Ganawagi too. You know, okay. A lot of people have, because the tax laws are different on reserve. And so we recognize that. And, you know, being the smart people that we are, mm-hmm. started to open these tobacco shacks. And there, because there was money to be made.
Of course.
And there was one tycoon, I'm going to go ahead and use that word, mm-hmm. Who has, again, he passed too. He passed recently, a couple years ago.
Wow.
Kenny Hill, who was, you know, the guy. He mm-hmm. he opened it up. He said, "I'm going to sign on with Canadian tax laws so that I can export my tobacco out to China, to, you know, all these foreign places." And in doing so, man, he just, that was a open check for him,
right?
Like, you know,
it was a blank check. And
that,
yeah,
that money just kept rolling in.
Yeah.
And, you know, he built the Jocasa Studios with tobacco money.
Okay.
He built a lot of things on the reserve. And there's, you know, it, the tobacco, the Grand River Employment or Grand River Enterprises is a tobacco factory here, and it employs a lot of people here on the reserve.
Mm-hmm.
So tobacco is pretty, you know, is, we have a big, big relationship with tobacco.
Yeah. And it doesn't have the, if I'm understanding correctly, it doesn't have the same addictive, destructive properties that the modern
cigarette.
Well,
we produce cigarettes. Yeah, we produce our own brands of cigarettes,
right,
which, you know, have all that shit in them. But you can also get that loose tobacco here. And I'll tell you, man, like, I love it when I'm driving mm-hmm. from off, coming back home from, or whatever, and they're processing tobacco, and yeah, you can smell it from the factory. Smells so good, man.
No, I have a relationship myself with tobacco. I have a love-hate relationship with cigarettes and tobacco.
Okay.
In that my mother always smoked cigarettes, and I always hated that.
Oh,
but
yeah.
Then when I finally met my grandfather, my mother's father, he smoked pipe.
Oh.
And there was, I have very, and I'm smelling it right now as I'm speaking to you, my nose memory is coming back. I was never mad at the smell of the pipe.
Right.
You know, because it had a sweet aroma, and
yeah,
there was, I don't know, there was this sense of wisdom with it. And I was like, if my mom smokes that, I'm fine.
Right.
Don't smoke cigarettes. I can't stand the cigarettes.
Well, but I'm a cigar smoker. You know, Kim, you know, I'm a cigar smoker.
Cigars are good too. I'm down for cigars.
Yeah. And I mean, I think for me, it's comforting too, because I'm thinking of my grandfather.
Mm-hmm.
He was the cigar. And anytime I smelled cigar as a child, I knew it was my grandpa.
Yeah.
And I would even go and lift the lid of his humidor just to get a whiff of what was in there.
Yeah.
So now I smoke, you know, now I smoke my own cigars, and you know, every now and then. But yeah, of course, the tobacco is it's one of those things, the commercialization.
Yeah.
I think is what we're talking about, that we don't like. But there, you know, the traditional relationship that we have with that plant is, I love it. Mm-hmm. I think it's great. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And how come it was important, or what was the significance of incorporating it into your performance?
Ah, okay. So when I perform that poem, which is called Ombé, it's Ombé is a Ojibwe word, actually. There's a song called Ombé, a powwow song called Ombé. And that song means the first time that you take someone's hand in trust or in love. So it could be the first time the parents hold the child's hand, mm-hmm. the first time the lovers hold hands together in trust and love. So that's Ombé.
Mm-hmm.
And I always use tobacco that I collect from my territory,
yep,
in that performance. And I just love the way that and what I do with that loose tobacco is I spell out words.
Right.
And
right.
I'm talking about love. Mm. And so I spell the word love in tobacco letters, in loose tobacco letters. And so I'm doing like these two-dimensional, like tobacco sculptures, if you will.
Yeah.
Well, track is playing and it's talking about love, and it's pretty, it's a funny track. Like it's funny. It talks about, you know, modern day relationships and stuff like that. Yeah. And
that could be a whole other show.
And so basically I wanted to, because at the end, you know, what, if you recall at the end, what I do after making these letters and these words and shapes out of tobacco,
yeah,
is that I take out a rolling paper and I start to twist together some cigarettes.
Right.
And then at the end of that performance, I make three cigarettes, mm-hmm, and the first two cigarettes I toss out to the audience,
yeah,
as an offering. Mm-hmm. So I'm offering you my tobacco. Mm-hmm. Like I'm saying, let's smoke together. Yeah. Let's smoke together. And then the last one I keep for myself and I light it. If I, you know, if I'm outdoors, I can do that. But indoors, I don't, you know, light it.
Depending on the rules, yeah.
But, you know, but the idea behind that is just using a beautiful loose tobacco. I wanted to show, you know, how beautiful tobacco is.
Yeah.
It's beautiful because, you know, I let it fall. I take a whole clump of it in my hand and I let it fall down.
Yeah.
You know, like little stardust or what have you.
Yes.
And yeah, I mean, it's about, you know, when you're smoking, some people believe that, you know, when you're smoking, it's also like a smudge, you know? Mm. So if you take the natural tobacco and you puff on it, I mean, we use it in ceremony all, yes, the time, you know?
Yes.
So it's another way. It's like, I'm talking about love and I'm talking to creator and I, you know, all of that stuff. So, and again, I'm just really proud of where I come from. And I wanted to show something that we grow and produce here and just use this element of tobacco in that pseudo ceremony, as, mm-hmm, you call it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, I can tell you that it impacted me because I remember it all these years later. And having seen that TikTok video, I made that connection immediately.
Cool.
Because I, like I said, I have this love-hate relationship with cigarettes, and I've always kind of seen cigarettes as this poison. And I mean, that's right, kind of what you're also fed by the media.
Right.
But we tend to forget that anything in excess and anything that's been completely processed, it can be very bad for you.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah. I mean, is it the tobacco that's addictive, or is it the elements in the tobacco that are addictive?
The process, the process, yeah, like just like when you're thinking about processed foods, you, right, know, all the nutrients are sucked out of it.
Yeah.
Stuff is added to it to make, yeah, it be able to have a longer shelf life.
Yes, that's right. Yeah.
And to make it cheaper so that it, yeah, can be mass bought.
Right.
Even though, yeah, cigarettes are not cheap, yeah, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but I like being able to have had a mindset and have that mindset not necessarily completely changed, because I'm still not for cigarettes, but to have a new understanding of the relationship, especially a traditional relationship between tobacco, mm, and native people, because that was not something that I really thought about, even in all of my different spiritual experiences that I've had. In Jamaica, in Haiti, I'm very close to Kumina from Jamaica, mm-hmm, and Voodoo, mm-hmm, in Haiti. I've mm-hmm experienced, mm-hmm, rituals. So even with you, that,
alcohol, no, in those rituals they
a
use
a lot of alcohol. So, oh my God!
Yeah.
Spirit loves their spirits. Right. Spirit loves their spirits. You know.
Right. Yeah, and this is spirit perspective. Yeah. Perspective.
Yeah. Yeah. Soul perspectives. Yeah. Yes.
Soul perspective. That's right.
If you're tuning in for the first time, we are speaking to Janet Marie Rogers, a Mohawk Tuscarora writer from the Six Nations of the Grand River. She was born in Vancouver, British Columbia in 1963 and raised in Southern Ontario. She is a radio broadcaster, documentary producer, and media and sound artist. She works in page poetry, spoken word performance poetry, video poetry, and recorded poetry with music. She has many, many published literary titles. We do have to take a quick break. Keep it locked. You are listening to Soul Perspectives here on CKUT 90.3 on your FM dial. His presence.
Do you see a turning point here? We've been talking forever about more justice for Indigenous people. Justice for Indigenous people.
We want justice, we don't trust this. It's not justice, that's not justice. It's not just us that wants justice. We don't trust this, we want justice. We don't trust this, we want justice. It's not justice, that's not justice. It's not just us that wants justice. We don't trust this, we want justice.
Don't sell out the land, stand with the purpose. The earth is my body and my mind is water. Beach with a modern day soldier, I told ya. Move with the motor, get run over, they sold ya. Solar power, wind tower, flower in the motherboard. Planet in the city grid, pity kid, the mother's torn. Ripped from the womb as the hate consumes. Doom for the bloom, late June, it shifted moon. 13 ceremonial, anti-colonial, Sony headphones, platoons that release this slow boom. So we feast for the spirit, complete now, hear it? Echo on the turtle's back, ain't no turning back. The love spreads roots to the chest as I express the message of my ancestors. Nevertheless, we were oppressed and abused for the profit of a puppet. Stop it, cause the parliament is not for the public. I am not a terrorist, an error in judgment. The government is scared of us, the general public. The purchases, the worthlessness, the native kids. Let me be where the earth is lit.
We want justice, we don't trust this. It's not justice, that's not justice. It's not just us that wants justice. We don't trust this, we want justice. We don't trust this, we want justice. It's not justice, that's not justice. It's not just us that wants justice. We don't trust this, we want justice.
Freddie Gray got his spine broken, his mind blowing, Aragon and shit, he died choking. His eyes open, Walter Scott, many died running. The time's coming, Terrence Crutcher had his hands up. But so what, Tamir Rice had a toy gun made out of plastic, cops call him and the boy's done. He's getting dressed and Charles Kinsley had his hands up, laying on his
back. One saliva string, one tongue, cannot speak of the fight that comes from survival. It's from survival. Touch my children, and my teeth welcome your windpipe. Touch my children, and my teeth welcome your windpipe. Utter the name and be crushed by leg, growing strong from holding up weight. By thigh that carries rocks, an urgent gait. Will hunch my shoulders and wait. Claws sharpened, teeth agape. Claws sharpened, teeth agape.
Yes, 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 we're back, we're back, we're back. You are listening to Soul Perspectives here on CKUT 90.3 on your FM dial. We are speaking to my guest this evening, Janet Marie Rogers, who has produced and written gallery and broadcast media with Turo Media since 2015. She independently won the American Indian Film Festival Best Music Video 2020 with Ego of a Nation and the Imaginative Media Best Experimental Sound Prize in 2021 for her sound piece, The Struggle Within. She wrote and produced an audio pilot titled Indians on the Airwaves and is currently in production with a 10-episode web series she wrote of the same name due out in March 2022.
Yeah, so we're in production. We go into production this week. I'm excited.
Amazing, amazing, amazing.
Yeah, man.
So tell us a little bit about what that is.
Okay, so it's a comedy web series. Mm-hmm. It's a 10-part, you know, mini web series. The episodes are like 6 to 10 minutes each. It's not very long, but I did write it, and I got some help in with a comedy troupe. They're called A Manifest Destiny's Child.
Okay.
they're in Toronto. And so I had these two other native female comedy writers kind of do a little bit of punch-up work with the scripts. And so we, you know, this was something that I went and I pitched to APTN for their digital channel. And they passed on it. But you know what? I got Canada Council funding to produce the 10 episode web series. Mm-hmm. And it's just, it's been so much fun. We did some production work in November of 2021. Mm-hmm. And we're going back into production again, like I said, in February. And so, yeah, in July, mm-hmm. The web series should be out and about up there on the digital platforms. Amazing. And it's about a struggling res radio station, mm-hmm. and okay. the cast of quirky characters that, you know, work at the station and all of the, you know, the ways that they try to keep the station going, mm-hmm. and like that. And you get to learn a lot about, you know, just the little idiosyncrasies of res radio. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, we've got two radio stations on Six Nations. One is CKRZ FM, and they've been on the air for 32 years. Nice. 32 years. That's
quite
not
some
a small
time.
No. Yeah. Yeah. And then the other new one, which again was, you know, built by the tobacco tycoon, mm-hmm. Kenny Hill, is Jocasa Radio. And, you know, they've got, you know, blinged out station and, you know, bottomless budget to kind of work with.
That is always fun.
It's fun. And they, you know, they're a little bit more commercially than the other radio station. So, you know, I just have such a passion for radio that I wanted to keep, you know, the idea of native radio in people's consciousness and mm-hmm. in a funny way. Mm-hmm. So that's the reason why I wanted to do this web series.
Mm. And I love the idea of making it more of a comedy.
Yeah.
Because
comedy
reaches everybody, right? If you can make someone laugh, laughter is one of the most beautifully contagious of things that could happen to you.
Absolutely. And you know, Kim, that, mm-hmm. you know, you can talk about a lot of issues that might sting it, you know, but you say it in a funny way and then it doesn't sting so much, right? So
and it also sticks.
What we're doing.
It also sticks because you remember the joke.
That's it.
I think about people like Trevor Noah that grew up in apartheid South Africa.
Yes.
And his jokes hit, but he's talking about serious issues. Yeah. Like in his book Born a Crime, I can't fathom that if my mother and my father are together, they could both get arrested just for loving one another. Like,
right,
it doesn't make any sense in my brain. But this happened to him, and we're in almost the same generation. Me and him are not that far apart in age.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah. Africa South Africa messed up.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, a lot of it is everywhere, but yeah. And so anyway, so once we finish production, then I am going to take it around. I'm going to take it around to different broadcasters and producers and say, hey, did you want to further develop this? Because we've got a good thing, you know, the foundation of a really good thing here, mm-hmm. we think. And we'll see where it goes from there, you know.
That is amazing.
Yeah.
Is this like going to be your focus for the next little bit, or are you one of those people who cooks on all four burners or six burners of your stove at the same time? So you might have something on low that's on simmer, and you know, you'll get to that in maybe 2 or 3 months.
Throughout this show, Kim, you've been saying I'm born in 1963, which means I'm like, next year I'm looking at 60 years old.
Right.
So I used to be able to do that multi-burner cooking. But now I'm like, this is, the web series is my baby this year. It's my baby, and I want to make sure it gets fed and is going to get up and walk in the world.
Mm.
And, you know, so I'm focused on that.
That is perfect.
Right.
Just in case you're tuning in for the first time, I don't know where you've been, because this has been an interesting conversation. You should be tuning in every Tuesday evening from 7 to 8:30 p.m. We've been talking to Janet Marie Rogers, who is a Mohawk Tuscarora writer from Six Nations of the Grand River. She was born in British Columbia, Vancouver, in 1963 and raised in Southern Ontario. She's traveled throughout 2017 to 19, doing back-to-back residences in Vancouver, Santa Fe, New Mexico, and Edmonton, Alberta. She lives on Six Nations territory of the Grand River, where she owns and operates Ogisto Publishing and Productions. Janet works in page poetry, spoken word performance poetry, video poetry, and recorded poetry with music. She is a radio broadcaster, documentary producer, and media and sound artist, and she has written and is in production for the audio pilot titled Indians on the Airwaves, and is currently in production with a 10-episode web series she wrote of the same name, due out March 2022.
Yes, that's all true.
Thank you so much for talking to us, for sharing your story, and sharing a little bit of the knowledge with the Black community here in Montreal and the wider listeners. I feel like the Black community, we need to be more connective with our Native community, because our struggle is almost parallel.
You got it. I was going to use exactly that same word. And I think we are. I really think that I'm seeing a lot more unity in our both of our communities. And yes, we are, you know, realizing, oh, we're the same. Yeah. we're the same. If we're in a colonized nation, mm-hmm, living as, you know, people of color,
yep,
Black, Indigenous people of color, then we are living the same reality. Absolutely. And as such, let's support one another. And I do see that happening. I mean, that was always my mindset.
Yeah.
You know, throughout, yeah, you know, all of my,
yeah,
life. So to see it kind of realized and be enacted upon now, I make my heart feel real good.
Mm.
Yeah.
And thank you once again for taking some time out of your schedule to chat with us in this Shut It Down, Turn It Up.
There you go.
month of giving space to Native, Indigenous, yeah, creators.
My absolute honor and pleasure. Thanks for the invitation. Yeah, love,
yes,
it.
So, ladies and gentlemen, you heard it here. Keep it locked every Tuesday evening from 7 to 8:30. My name is Kim Dominique Ferguson, and you have been listening to Soul Perspectives here on CKUT 90.3 on your FM dial.
And back alleys, hip-hop ain't dead, is this knowledge you spit. You can hear it in the lyrics, in the way that I rap, it's so sick, cause when it come to that rapping, I go all out.
For the street, T.O. to South Cali,
hip-hop ain't dead, is this knowledge you spit. You can hear it in the lyrics, in the way that I rap, Mike Activist.
Street poetry, I kick moves, mountains.
Poetry, I'm sober with a soldier mind. Overtime, so committed, over limit, finish line. Breathing to my last drop, money's not my motivation. If it was, I'd be a puppet selling out to corporations. Dead Indian romanticized, enhancing minds, so they love me when I'm dancing, but they fear me when I'm standing. Sunrise, seven lifetimes, glancing ahead and they amping. What's the man in? New clothes, mansion, new whip, computer chip, brain on bandwidth. I'll be rocking tan hide, watch how the fam ride. In canoes with the moose on the landslide. Never hiding my face, it's been decided my fate. Traced by starlight, raised by the Great Lakes. The page turns while we flip it off the axis. Rage turned into practice, we map this.
For the street corner curbs and back alleys,
hip-hop ain't dead, is this knowledge you spit. You can hear it in the lyrics, in the way that I rap, it's so sick, cause when it come to that rapping, I go all out.
For the street, T.O. to South Cali,
hip-hop ain't dead, is this knowledge you spit. You can hear it in the lyrics, in the way that I rap, Mike Activist.
Street poetry, I catch moves, mountains.
Ain't too snobby, but I come off proper. Flow hot like August, snow hot like lava. Better stop that talking or get dropped like dollars. Washed out, ironed up, pop like collars. I'm a crazy, cause I got no options. Been out on that block, so the clock ain't stopping. It was condo, many of them, one in the closet in Toronto. Keeping them birds up off me, gotta watch those. Stash though, these kids been watching. I'm a man though, handle anything popping. Cause I'm repping Six Nations and I'm coming in proper. White, yellow, green, like your new tea. You write what you think, I write what I see. Tight like your jeans, you're the type to believe all the hype that they speak. Nice to me, brand new black suit. Link with my enemies, cause
over the bathroom sink. I don't pretend to be nothing. My homie Cash rules speak. Get some memories dumping off of your through me. I don't pretend to be.
For the street corner curbs and back alleys, hip hop ain't dead if it's knowledge you spit.
You can hear it in the lyrics and the way that I rap. It's so sick.
Cause when it come to that rapping, I go all out.
For the street, T.O. to South Cali, hip hop ain't dead if it's knowledge you spit.
You can hear it in the lyrics and the way that I rap. Mike activist.
Street poetry, I catch moves, mounts.
Hip hop reincarnated. Remember tracks like this, it's been a while, ain't it? Resurrected from the place the vets left.
Are you a tenant in Montreal? Do you have questions about your rights? Your local housing committee can help. To find the housing committee for your neighborhood or for more...
398-4616, get in the mix, stir the batter. Constant chatter on CKUT 90.3 FM. Did I miss something?
The Festival International de Nuit d'Afrique is back with its free outdoor programming from July 9th to the 24th in Montreal. Meet at the Patière in the Quartier des Spectacles and on the new L'Esplanade Tranquille. For the first time, a second scene for twice as many concerts and free activities for the whole family. On the program, concerts, open-air workshops, DJ sets, restaurants with tropical flavors, and don't forget the Timbuktu Market. Discover the festival like you've never seen it before. Programming on festivalnuitdafrique.com.
You're listening to CKUT 90.3 FM Montreal. Listening to the Romanian radio show in Montreal, Marca Ro. Ascultați emisiunea de radio Marca Ro pe 90.3 FM CKUT.